Corporation meeting. We have two guests here, Alec and Mark, and they're going to talk about their Skid City, is that what it's called? They're going to talk about their proposal that they've put forward to the council regarding the drag strip here in Swan Hill. Now, I've invited them here because I'd like to hear the other side. I've heard a lot on one side, I want to hear the other side. So, Mark, if you'd like to come up, you got a good loud voice?
No.
They'll bring the microphone soon, they're just going to find a switch to flip.
No.
Okay, so Mark's now going to address all of us. So I'm just going to ask you, think what your mum would do if you're going to disrupt. She'd clip you across the ear, so we're not going to. We're just going to let the gentleman say what he's got to say. So sit back and close yours.
Thank you.
No worries.
Okay, so firstly on behalf of Alec and myself, I'd like to thank Robin and the committee for having us here. There's been a bit going about in the papers and everywhere, a bit of innuendo about us, and it's a good opportunity for us to get here today and clear the air and get rid of some of those rumours that are going around which are completely untrue. So how this all started was, just quickly, we around about January, I went and saw Gary because the drag club had been kicked out of the complex. If you don't know, last year I ran through the assistance of Gary. We ran three closed set burnout sessions for a series that we put together, and so I wanted to make. What we wanted to do is get access to the drag strip again to do another series and also have a pro show event. So that's where it started with me. So that's why it's under Skid City, because that's what the burnouts was under, was Skid City. So our application down the track originally went in as Skid City. Alec jumped on board at Easter time and said he's prepared to throw a ton of cash at the drag strip side of things to rehabilitate that. I don't have the money for that, Alec does. So, and Alec's really passionate about drag racing, so we got together and formed an idea on how we'd go about this. And then the submission went through with Skid City, which we haven't set up any business entity yet because, well, we haven't even got a lease, so why would we spend money on setting up a business entity? So the idea is that the Skid City, which is what the submission is under, would be a not-for-profit, and then we would have another business attached to that where we channel the money into that and it goes through to Skid City as a not-for-profit. So, and then from that, we would spend all the money on what we have to do with the tracks, that'd be wages, bills, whatever it would be, and obviously the infrastructure upgrades that we want to do. And then if there's any money left, it doesn't go back to Melbourne like people are saying. It has to stay within the corporation or within the not-for-profit. And then, so we've either got to spend it on the facility or we can dish it out as grants to other people, but we don't expect to get to that stage for long time. We've got to pay down our debt first before we can start doing that other stuff. So that's where we were from. That's how we got to that stage. So to get to the, for what we want with the drag strip, we want to build it so that we can host a Top Fuel meeting. Mildura hosted one 2 years ago, I think, maybe three. They had 10,000 people there. That's the pinnacle of our sport, and that's what we want to build our complex to do that. Let me tell you that we're years away from that. As far as all the facilities that we want to put in place, it's going to be a long time. We could get Top Fuel. Alec could organise Top Fuel a lot earlier than that, and we may do that, but to have the venue that's suitable as far as spectators go and the facility itself, we're a little bit away from that. So our aim is to get drag racing there to start with. So I'll just go through some of the things we need to have in place for Top Fuel. So the concrete racing surface needs to be extended another 92 metres to provide the full concrete racing surface, because as you know, the council ran out of money, so the last 92 metres of the concrete drag strip is asphalt. So we want to continue that so it's a full 400 metres. Emergency gravel pit at the end of the braking area is too short, so we need to improve that. Dual safety nets, when top fuel comes, I need to have two safety nets at the end of the track. There's none there at the moment. Electronic automatic parachute deployment, so that's got to be in place. So if the drivers are unconscious going across the finish line, the parachutes deploy automatically. So there's a lot of rules and regulations that need to be in place just to house top fuel. Obviously a wider parachute collection, but power and town water need to be provided to the pit area. Lighting to the racing surface and additional lighting to the entire pit area will need to be installed. Dedicated bitumen pit roads and grass pit lots. Communication and vision systems like live stream setups, that type of thing, which is crucial in this day and age for your sponsors. Numerous amenity blocks, as people know out there, we haven't got one. There's not one on the drag strip. So we need to get that put in place. Covered and non-covered seating to be installed to cater for long-term 10,000 spectators, which is what Mildura had. So that's not pie in the sky. That they went to Mildura, they'll come to us. New standalone burnout pad will have to be constructed, as burnouts and drag racing cannot be conducted on the same racing surface due to the different tyre compounds and steel wire belt traces from exploding tyres. Now, people, I'm not sure if you know, but the silica in the normal street tyre, the track prep that you use to prep a track so there's grip for the drag cars, they're not compatible. So when we finish, there's already a lot of rubber on the drag strip at the moment, but once that track gets, ready to take on track prep for drag racing, that whole thing's got to be scraped back to concrete. And then once we start using that for drag racing, we can't put street car tyres on there. It's just incompatible. So once the idea is that if we got that lease, that we would run a few burnout events until such time as Alex's program got down the track. Once that's down the track, we're off. So we have to build another standalone pad. Obviously, the other things that, like all the other user groups have got, club rooms, merchandise, official buildings, plant rooms, things to store our tractors, all of that. So to complete all the works listed above, which requires significant funding, we've estimated around 8 years for that to be done, provided we can get some grants and so forth, which I'll talk about shortly. So I've already talked about the way that we're going to set up the business structure, and I guess I'm not an expert in that. I have no idea. I've never had a not-for-profit. I just have a sole trader business. I've had a company before, but I just have a sole trader now. So I have no idea how the not-for-profit works, but we're professionals who are going to put that together for us, and we'll be guided by them. So the next thing is, there's a bit of rumour going around about us having all this money, trying to get all this money to buy the complex. I can tell you exactly, and the reason I've got Robin sitting here, because when I read these, she can have a look and to say that, to know that they're factual. This is not made up. We applied. So as far as the rest of the drag strip itself, and then we're looking at the rest of the complex, because if we bring something into the drag strip, it's right down the end. So we've got to go past the speedway, we've got to go past the go-karts, we've got to go past the motocross and the off-road. So if we're bringing something to there, why wouldn't we bring it to the others as well? And that's why we're looking, that's how we look. We're not looking at FERT yet, we're looking to build our complex up, but why not have the other user groups take advantage of what we're doing? So we have a submission to the gain a user group agreement to rehabilitate the drag racing facility, which forms part of the Swan Hill Motorplex. That's blah blah, I guess. But the complex, to meet current state and federal laws, there needs to be a raft of improvements made to the facility to address the needs of women and disabled patrons. At the moment, I can't see anywhere in that facility that caters for disabled patrons. Yeah, and I know on the drag strip side of things, if you had a guy in a wheelchair and you tried to wheel him out across the paddock and up that mound, it'd be a hell of a job. So, you know, laws these days have changed from when Gaz and Al and them started to build that track, you know. And that goes throughout the complex. You know, if we're going to cater for us, yeah, for the disabled down there, we need to do it everywhere else if we can get that money. We are seeking an infrastructure grant to install sewer and potable town water to the facility, stormwater drains, several ablution blocks throughout the complex, and not just us, that's everywhere else, female change room showers and access for disabled patrons throughout the complex. These inclusions would bring the facility in line with the current federal and state government legislation and expectations. The drag racing facility is located at the back of the... Yeah, as I said, everything would go past the other user groups to get to us. So I sent a letter of interest out to the relevant federal ministers. Yeah, for infrastructure for women, blah, blah. And I got a response back to, and the request was for $14 million, or what we thought would be $14 million. I got a reply back 2 weeks ago from the government stating that there is something available. There is a grant at the moment, you know, that we could apply, and that grant's between $500,000 and $15 million. So there is something there at the moment. The first round was in August, January, I think it expired. So we've missed the first round, but they have told us there is a second round, and they've told us how to go about it. So there is something in that we can tap into going forward. Now, as part of our presentation when we presented to council, we had one person on our who was in our party, Trish Crossan. Now, Trish is she was the first senator. First female senator in Northern Territory. She's on multiple women's boards, Indigenous boards. She got $4.5 million to build the Hidden Valley Drag Strip, and then another million on top of that. She's a life member of the federal government at the moment. So she still has lots of friends and she has lots of back doors. Within the government. So I've now actioned her, so she started to look at this, started to prepare. This will have to go through the Swan Hill Rural City Council, which we think is good. But we're prepared now. She's doing the preliminaries, and then if we ever get a lease out, then we'll action that with the council, working with the council to try and secure a grant based on whatever the costing's come. You know, that $14 million might only be $8 million, I'm not sure, but we have got the very, very, very best person we can get to assist with that. So I think if there is a chance to get it, Trish will get it because of her knowledge and the fact that she's done that before. So that's where we're at with this $14 million figure. It's not to buy the drag strip, as somebody might have suggested. It's not to do anything else. What it's to do is to help us first, and then every other user group join in. So if we can help every single user group at that multiplex out there, we will do it. We don't care, you know. Look, that's what we're there for. You know, we're there to make sure that everybody can benefit from anything that we do. So that's where we are with that. So I guess the next thing is, it's not personal, but Les is here obviously, but it's really hard from the outside to understand the processes of council. And there is protocol and the way that they go through, and we don't know that. And it is hard to understand, but there's a few things that seem to be handbreaking the way that we would have hoped that this lease arrangement would be. Originally, we put in a user group agreement, and talking to, I visited Les at I think it was called the Coldy with the councillor at Lake Boga, And we had a good chat, a really good chat actually, and he brought up the point about the liability to cancer. Now there's some rubbish going around last week about what happened at the drag strip, which is a complete lie. The fact is, every time that we run out there, there is our governing sports body, the same as I guess the Speedway. They have an insurance, you know, as part of that sanctioning, you have an insurance part of that, which should have covered what happened. It, for whatever reason, cancels insurance company decided to jump in as well. They didn't have to. Trust me, that they did not have to get involved in that. Anyway, so Les had an issue with that, the fact that there is this liability thing hanging over the council. Well, there is at the footy ground, you know, or there is a Colts. There's always that liability. But so what I did is I went to our insurer, our sanctioning body, which is ANDRA, the Australian National Drag Racing Association, and they went directly to SLE, which is the international insurer, which covers ANDRA now. So our CEO put the scenario to them about the fact that council is worried about the liability. So they come back and they said, and this is their response. So in discussion with our insurers, SLE Worldwide, ANDRA will be able to add Swan Hill Rural City Council as an additional insured, noting its interest under the public liability policy. SLE have advised the following. Subject to track meeting ANDRA standard, which is our work, it can be included for use again. The council's interest can certainly be noted. We would include the council as an additional insured, which would afford them the same rights and coverage as ANDRA. We would suggest the council would also need absolve themselves of any responsibility under the new lease and make the lessees responsible contractually. So now, and I'm not sure where it changed, but originally we were looking to use the group agreement and now it's a lease agreement. But it's clearly stated here that council is now enveloped in with ANDRA under that insurance. So from the way that it's been explained to me and the way that it reads here, is that protection is now provided to council. So we don't have to worry about what happened last time, and it happened. Whether it happened for a reason or not, we're not getting involved in that. But the thing is, it's we've washed our hands of that because we're moving forward. And this here shows that the council's liability from where it was before to where it is now is a lot better. So we're trying to cover off everything that might be an issue that council sees as a bit of a stumbling block. So what we're trying to do is cover off on all that. So I did email that to Les. I'm not sure if he got it or not, but he did, yep. So yeah, that's, for us, that's a big bonus. Now, the next thing I want to get to is this. Everyone's seen that photo going around and made a million comments, most of them lies. So I'll just tell you, I'll tell you what happened. Talk to Gary. Gary said, oh, you're going to have trouble because you're an out-of-towners. You might have a bit of trouble with the user groups. I said, all right, so I'll get on the front foot, and what I'll do is send an email out to all the user groups and secretaries, presidents, and tell them what we're on about, and, you know, the ideas that we've got moving forward. So we sent this photo out and addressed that photo, which had the car club, the Swan Hill Car Club, shifting. We had them shifting their complex to the top left-hand corner, and we would put this car park facility, jet boats, all that, in that park. Now, there was a big hoo-ha about it from the off-road, actually, from the car club. And then all of a sudden, all these rumours started going around, and it just gathered pace, and then we're seeing comments in the newspaper which are completely incorrect. So on the bottom of that, when we pointed out what we want, you know, what the plan was, on the bottom of that, it said, the plan for our car park and jet boat course could be set up in the left-hand corner if the car club had elected not to relocate. So in other words, no big deal. This is where we wanted it, And if the car club said, no, we'll just go to the top corner, because the 4x4 club's not there. They've given up their right, the user group agreement. So all that land's spare. Who cares? Like, and the car club said, no, we don't want to shift, so that's fine. It stated here that, no worries, we'll just go to that top corner. But no, people had to make this big thing out of that we're going to take over, we're going to kick everyone out, going to flatten the speedway, flatten the whole complex. Just ridiculous. All manufactured lies, in my eyes. So, we get to the drawing. So, as part of that drawing, we had, where the car club is right now, a 5,000 car park. So if we had, we're trying to cater, don't forget what I said at the start, we're trying to cater for 10,000 people to come to a Top Fuel meeting. When the boys ran the Nitro Funny Cars, I think it was 3,600 spectators and about 1,400 in the pits crew, and so about 5,000. We've got double that. That's all. That's, as I said at the start, the long-term goal is for that. So from there, then we had a cabin park, and let me tell you, the cabin park is the very last thing that we would put into this complex. We've got other things to do long before we put the cabin park in. Then we had a jet boat course, now as the AFJSA, V8 super boats. I've been in contact with those guys. They're really, really keen to set up a course here. They don't have a Victorian leg in their championship, and if anyone knows the jet boats, they're really exciting. So there's an opportunity for us to bring something else, another motorsport, into the facility, which is going to get a different clientele coming in. It's going to get people from Melbourne, it's going to get people from New South Wales who follow the series heavily in New South Wales to come. We need people flooding the town because of a new sport that we would introduce. They're willing to work with us as well, you know, look, to help set up the course. So it's two-way work there, and it's something that definitely could work, but it's not right now. It's a little bit down the track, because our focus, Alex's focus, is to get that drag strip sorted first. So all these things are the grand plan, but that wouldn't be that far down the track. So the idea of the car park in the centre was, if you can imagine where the car club is now, and you've got this huge car park, then if you're at the speedway, you walk straight across the road, you're in the car park. The go-karts around the corner in the car park. Motocross straight across, they're in the car park. So we need a car park for that size. That, to me, just made sense, and for the drag strip straight across, made sense that would be the best place to have it. As I said, the car club said, no, they don't want to shift it, and fair enough. So now the car park will be down, if we're there, we're assuming, the car park will be down at the end of the off-road course. So it just means it's still there for everybody to use, it just means it's further to walk. And we're talking about, you know, the vision that I have is that we have huge events, you know, like the car club. It's a unique track that they have. There's only them, and I think one in Perth maybe, of that run 2K or run dual lanes. So it's something unique. It's something that probably, talking to Chris, you know, they're trying to build on it and they're starting to get cars coming from Melbourne and different places. So that's got huge potential. So, you know, like it's, if everyone can get on that line and keep going that way, then everyone's going to benefit from having this car park there. So that was there's nothing else read into it. That's exactly how it was going to be. The reasonings for it. So don't listen to anything else. I'm telling you what the reason was, and that was it. Now, just for what we've seen, and just on that, as of today, the Swan Hill Sporting Car Club have put a letter of support in for us. So all the people who think that the Sporting Car Club is against us, blah, blah, they just submitted their letter of support, the club. So they emailed me that copy today. So if anyone's thinking that we've upset them, well, why would they give us a letter of support? You know, and that's, to me, that tells me they're on board. I know they're on board, actually. I don't have to say that because I already know. So from what we gather, with a lot of the misinformation going around, and sometimes, to me, I just call it, in some cases, lying, And it seems to be, and I could be wrong here, but it seems that it's Speedway generated. There's a lot of comments either on social media posts or in the newspaper, whatever it would be, that are Speedway backed. I'll just give you a bit of background into what I am. So I spent my youth around the Torquay Calcium Park Speedways. I'm a Speedway member. So I'm not sure if anyone would know, would have ever heard of them, but that was back in the day. The club's then amalgamated to form Avalon Speedway. Everyone would know that. I've been just about at every President's Cup at Avalon, attended more than half of the classics at Premier Speedway, been to Parramatta, Carrick, following the 410s, both Vision and Still Media at Heartland Raceway, Borderline, Avalon and Premier Speedway. Was the president of the Derby Speedway in WA while I was over there, and held Speedway Australia accreditation until maybe 2 years ago. And the reason I gave that up is because I filmed a lot at Avalon and did a lot of promos for those guys, and it just, our national series, our events would be clashing on the same dates as Avalon's rounds, and I finished up for, I think, maybe one or two of the seasons on it. I never used the accreditation because I was always at the drag, so I gave that up. But I did hold Speedway Australia media accreditation. So the brief time I spent with the former Speedway president, Hayden Glare, which when we addressed a user group meeting 3 or 4 weeks ago in the same venue, and at the end of it, everyone dispersed, and I was with Hayden and a couple of the other young blokes, and we had probably a 15-minute talk, and it was really amicable, and for me, it looked like that we had good cooperation between them and us. One thing was said to Hayden at that stage was that the burnout track, we could put a burnout track in the centre of the Speedway for them. Yeah, apparently they've got a pad, but we'd put a bigger pad in, at no cost to them. That is depending on a procedure we have with the council, of course, but so we need approval there. But at the end of the day, that's what we would do for the Speedway Club, and Hayden was all for it, and the other boys were too. They thought it was a great idea. Now, for us, we've got the Skid City pad at the moment, which is really, really loved by every... And we had some really heavy hitters who did our series, some of the best out there, and they love the pad. The thing is, we will have to change the pad, as I said earlier, to another location, which we will, but we're based around, as everything will be at the strip, we're based around events, you know, like Showtime events, and we will have some testing tunes, but we're not interested in driving up here every second Friday night, one Friday night a month, whatever it is, to conduct burnouts for the local kids, to get them off the streets. So I said to Hayden, you know, what about this idea? And then these boys could take care of the local kids. They could come out here every second week, every month, however they decide to run it. Now, on top of that, my right-hand man who runs a lot of burnout events or assists in the burnout, you know, the first one that happened at the Bend not so long ago, he was assisting, you know, they come to him and said, how do we do this, how do we do that? We'll give him that guy. That's Dutchie. We'll give Dutchie to these guys to get them up to speed and tell them, right, this is what you need to do. Blah, 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 don't do this, don't do that. Now, if we were against the Speedway, like everyone's saying we are, why would we do that? Why would we have, you know, at the end, a whole season, and if it becomes successful, this could be a $20,000 gross income into the club, free money that they weren't getting beforehand. Now, if we're so bad for the Speedway, why would we do that? You know, like, people are getting misconceptions here that we're out to hit the Speedway, we're going to cut their track, you know, we're going to extend our drag strip. That might have come from 2016. We aren't extending anything. We're not going anywhere. They're talking about we're taking their pits. Well, we wanted that road as, once again, once we get 10,000 people there, you have another exit to go out the other way. It's a dirt road. The boys, you know, from the Speedway, why wouldn't they just... If you had a pit on that road, you know, they've got a whole road down there. You know, like we're not taking anything away from the Speedway. And the other thing to mention from that picture is everyone's cranking on about the fact that we're going to take again, extend the drag strip, take Speedway, you know, half the Speedway, and we're going to bulldoze the whole site down. It doesn't even touch the Speedway. That picture is from the fence line, you know, further into the paddock. The Speedway's not even touched. So all this innuendo that's going around, that's what it is.
Okay.
So, really, it's really annoying, actually. It's pissing us off, to be frank. Because we don't deserve to have all of that, all those lies spread around by certain people. We come into this town, both Alec and I, this is our legacy to the sport. If we do this drag, if we get to this drag strip and build this drag strip, in 30 years' time when we're not around, someone can come past and say, oh yeah, that's those two guys, yeah, there's a picture or something. That's our legacy. Yeah, we want to leave something for the sport. So that's what it is. We're not coming here to rape the town, take all this, you know, get a B double and take all of our money back to Melbourne. We're not doing that. We're leaving every single thing here. And we just, quite frankly, the red carpet that's been rolled out for someone coming into town who wants to invest money in the town is bloody ridiculous. It certainly hasn't been for us. And what we've copped because we want to rehabilitate the drag strip is unbelievable. Now, I'm not sure whether that's a hangover from when these boys were doing the drag strip. If it is, then it's wrong as well. You know, I was a heap of the stuff, filmed just about everything that happened at the drag strip. I know everything that, I don't know the build, I know everything that happened with racing while it was on. You know, the guys were solid. Unfortunately, they didn't have the track in the end. Not their fault. You know, and they had good intention. You know, I was talking to Gary a couple of weeks and all these things I was putting up, he goes, yeah, we had a plan for that. We went to this designer to do this design. They had it all. Just that they didn't have the money. Luckily, I've got Rich here. He's got a bit of cash, and he's going to throw some cash into it. But
tell that to me, wife.
But that's where Gary and Alan, the club, missed out. They just didn't have the funding. They had to build that funding to keep going. Well, I'm really lucky because we've got him here. But
can I just say something?
Yeah.
Look at that money.
So everybody, this is Alec.
Alec Berrius. I'm a vegetable grower, but I'm a passionate drag racer. I started in the 70s when we didn't know nothing about drugs. Saturday nights, every mate would come over my place. We'd have our cars, we'd have them on jacks, we'd weld and do, and we thought we'd put a cam and an extractor on there, and we got a hot car. Every once a month, we'd go to Calder and we'd go race. 2 years ago, we came and with Gary and with this Swan Hill, when they had problems, I found this bloke. We did a lot of I did a lot of research in getting Dion to come down and do this injection. Now, the engineer at the time, he didn't know nothing about it. I'm a farmer. Farmers can, you know, you give a farmer a hail band and a bit of wire and he'll fix up anything. And this is what we did. We found this buddy, this solution, and Dion, and I said, Dion, is this gonna work? He reckons, mate, it'll work. He reckons, I move bridges, councils, and all that type of thing. So we organised it with, I won't go into things, whatever happened, but, it went. 8 weeks ago, they came and did it, yes?
Probably,
maybe 10. We got permission from the council to get Dion and his specialist to check whether it had moved, because he's had a lot of rain about 2 months prior to that. Don't worry about it, we can pump on that. Anyway, what was that guy's name? They did the testing?
Jonah
did the testing about 6 weeks later. He said that hasn't moved, but it needs to be sealed. If you keep it any longer, the water that's going down there, it's gonna, you know, but at the moment it has not moved and he guarantees it. So we're going on Dion's specs. The thing that I'm most worried about is the runoff, the bitumen. I don't know what, the reason why it's gone, when we went down there, we couldn't go more than 80 kilometres an hour, because when we held in the camera, in the 250, the bloke was hitting his head on the thing. Now, when you're doing 300 miles an hour, you're going to have an aeroplane. And I don't know what the structure of that, if we get this lease, I've already teed up one of the blokes actually that does a lot of your roads around here, and he knows the road surfaces and all that type of thing, and to have a look at what he reckons we should be doing. Because at the end of the day, we can fix the concrete side of it, but the bitumen side of it, we don't know how much it's going to cost us. So that's all I want to say on that. But just a passionate, and it's not just what Mark said. It's not just the beneficiary or what Mark said about, you know, a couple of blokes. This is a legacy that we're going to leave to I got my grandson. He's just come out, Australian champion junior. We just bought him a new car, and. This is the legacy of trying to get, like what I go back in the bloody 70s, where we knew nothing about drags, and we just said, when's the next drags? Instead of getting them on, getting the piss and the bloody drugs and all that, get them something to bloody, you see, when they do burnouts, who gets the blame? Drag racing. It's all right for Lounge and all them blokes when they win a race in the Super V8s and they do these dirty big donuts, you don't see them getting the blame for it, you know? But I'll just leave it at that. You carry on, mate.
Thanks, Alec. So just basically, just one thing on what Alec was saying with Dion doing the polypropylene, I think it is. But anyway, the jacking of the slab. You know, you had that big flood here, which was in November or something last year when the schools were shut, whenever that was. Anyway, it was towards the end of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was the drains overflowing, yeah.
Yeah. So... And out there, they had telephone poles. Wardy rang and said, we've got telephone poles that were sitting on the ground that have just floated everywhere like matchsticks. Now, there was a lot of water that went out there. As Alex said, when Jonah came back to do the checking of the 8 test pads that they did 18 months ago, they hadn't moved. Now, in our submission, what's happened with Slabjack Industries is they've given us, or the council, a guarantee of 10 years on their work. So he's not going to do all this work and get the drag strip up to the standards of the Australian National Drag Racing Association, which is nearly as flat as this table. It's not more than 6 mil fall in any direction for 10 metres. So it is flat, So he wouldn't even entertain doing that work and giving us a 10-year guarantee, or the council 10-year guarantee, if he thought that it wouldn't happen. So, it's something that Alec found, during his search that he does every day. I mean, he's got some really good ideas that he's found, but it's a solution. And it's a solution that cost, just for that concrete, will cost probably less, that part of it, less than what the council spent on doing 2 grinds. So they grind the concrete to try and get the humps out of it twice, and it's not usable. This guy comes in, and it will be usable with a 10-year guarantee on it, and it won't be. I think these guys might have spent $370,000 or something like that on those two grinds combined. So he could have done that for under that price. Now, obviously, we've still got the rest of the braking area. Alec and I have looked at and got some prices. We estimate $750,000 to actually do everything, including the braking area, get that sorted. If it comes in any less than that, then that's a bonus, but that's worst case scenario, that's where we think it's going to be, to fix just the racing part. So I've just about finished, so I'll go a couple of points that some are in our submission, but some aren't. When we did our presentation, to cancel, Alec got up and mentioned the fact that we're going to plant 10,000 trees around the place. We're going to try and make sure the water tables look dark, we stop all the winds and stuff like that. That's a lot of trees. Now, that's not going to be done in a week. That's, once again, over the grand plan, but we're going to have trees everywhere. As I said earlier, I've got plans, and I've already, as I said, already talked with VA Superboats that we can get them here. Another thing that council executive have, the councils don't have, but the council executive is something I'm working on at the moment that's to do with electric cars. So we have a bit, I have a vision that Swan Hill could be the capital of Victoria for electric motoring. It's certainly feasible, and it could go onto the back of something that I'm working on at the moment. So that would benefit everyone. BMX Park Stadium, so at half time we need, you know, if we have, I'm probably going to run the drags in a different format to what we normally see, but at half time entertainment we could have a roll in roll out park. Already gone down the road with that and talked to people. Music festivals, if we get the stadium finished the way that we want with mans all down both sides and it all directed back, there's no reason why we can't have something like, not the Dome of Green, but something like that. But that would be something that I would investigate. Part of my role is we need to make sure that the facility, the venue is viable, and if we just rely on drag cars for 6 to 8 meetings a year, it's not going to be viable to pay Alec back all this money, to pay my wage, blah, blah. So we need to have a cross-section of events there. Now, the other thing too is, I'm not sure if anybody has, in the user groups, have thought of this, but my vision on this is if we build all these roadways through the complex and we do everything up and nice and pretty and our stadium looks really good, and then the other user groups find some money and they can clean up their place, but we've helped them clean it up and put, you know, like bitumen pits down and all that sort of thing, we might be able to attract a venue sponsor, so a naming rights sponsor. Now, if I can secure a naming rights, they wouldn't pay 20 cents right now, but the thing is, if we got it to where I'm hoping we'd get it, if we got a naming rights sponsor for the venue, then that money comes in not to the drag racing, it comes into every user group, you know, goes into that, whatever that, what's your committee called, Gaz? Yeah, so it goes in, it would go into that, and then every club could draw out of that. So, you know, that's something that I'm not sure if anyone's thought of that, but if we build it up to be something presentable, we might be able to secure a sponsor, which everyone benefits out of it. I think hopefully you're getting the picture that we're coming in here to do the drag strip, but we want to see everyone else flourish out of it, not just us, you know, and drag is all along, but if you don't want to be part of it, that's fine. But just don't put us down. You know, like, don't be negative against us and say we're doing this and doing that. You've heard what we're doing. A lot of the crap that's going around is we're not doing that. We're doing exactly what we said to you today. And if you want to be part of it, awesome. But we're not forcing anyone to be part of what we're doing. The others are a bit... We don't really need to discuss that at this stage. So for me, I just think... Once again, Robin, for the opportunity. Trust me, everything it's always truthful, but that's our vision, and you've heard it from straight from the horse's mouth. That's exactly what we're doing.
Thank you very much. Question?
Yes.
I've never been out there.
Have you?
No, look.
It's a fabulous place.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. But where is all the other
sprint cars? Not sprint cars, speedways there.
Right.
That's the go-kart, that's a motocross, and the go-karts are down there.
Right, okay.
So that's a tree line between the speedway pits,
mm-hmm.
and then that's a drag strip. That's a tree line that separates.
Okay, thank you. Much appreciated. So, I don't think she's here. Hang on, just for a sec. Sorry. We have a question from one of our members, Helen Bennett. There have been members of the Swan Hill Drag Club who have worked tirelessly to get the drag strip up and going. Do you intend to include them in all of the future works you propose? If the members want to be included and participate in the future of the site?
Okay, so she obviously didn't see the Trent from our Swan Hill did a couple of videos.
She doesn't do Facebook.
Oh, okay. 2 days ago, one or three days, one interviewed these two gentlemen, mm-hmm. which they talked about their involvement, and then obviously interviewed me, Alec and I. The way that we've set it up, we went to originally with the submissions that were put into council, there were three that were up for presentation, which was Speedway presented their submission, us and the Swan Hill Drag Club. We addressed the Swan Hill Drag Club, I think it was the Friday night before the presentations were going to be heard. And we told them all this and said it would be better if we worked together on this. So at the end of the day, long story short, they decided to withdraw their submission and back out. What was said at that meeting is that basically we're going to manage the facility. Like I've got to 100% make sure that all liability, not that these guys would, but wouldn't. I've got to make sure that all liabilities are covered. There is no threat whatsoever to council and anything that happens out there or to us. So, and as far as the all of these things that have got planned, and I'm talking to two global companies at the moment, dealing with two global companies to bring some good dollars into the job. May not get it, but that's what that's where I'm focused now. The thing is, so we will manage. Swan Hill Drag Club are the grand people. They are vital. If we don't have them, this place is going nowhere. Mm-hmm. So in answer to that question, we're the managers of it, and they are the grand support.
Okay. Now the second question, as I said, she doesn't do Facebook, so yeah. Second question: the drag strip has been deemed unusable for quarter mile drags. Can you guarantee that you will not attempt to take legal action against the Swan Hill Rural City Council, alleging you were not aware of the condition of the track prior to leasing?
Right. So I've already answered part of that with the liability.
Yeah.
Right? So for everyone in this room, what happens is we'll get our companies in there to do all the work, and we'll say, righto, this is right to go. The Australian National Drag Racing Association will send their auditors out to have a look at the track, and they'll inspect the track. Then they put a machine across, which then takes the plot points all the way across the track for the whole length. And if it goes outside that variance I was saying about the 6 mil in any direction, 10 metres, it's a fail. Mm-hmm. So as was said in the thing, we cannot put an event on that track until it has been signed off by ANDRA, which is the Australian National. Yeah. Yeah. So ANDRA has to sign the burnouts. To conduct burnouts now, even though we did burnouts there last year on the part of the track that's okay, we can't do a burnout there until they come out and inspect the track and they sign off. You know, this is strictly how we operate. Is everything's got to be done exactly right, and as far as the track goes, it is what it is. When we get there, this is what it is. Okay, we've got to fix it. If it's more than what we think, that's our tough luck. We've got to fix it.
Right.
We don't worry about it before. We're just starting from now.
That's fine.
And that's it.
Okay.
So you can tell her that nothing goes down that drag strip, burnout car or car, until it's been signed off.
Okay, thank you. Colin.
Yes.
Some of your questions, have they been answered in all of this?
Partly. Well, there's two or three I'd like you to read out. No, question number one.
Okay.
Read that one out.
So, if Mark Humphreys, which is
yeah,
you,
yeah.
says that he has no intention of the drag strip development involving more of the complex than the drag strip site itself, why did he register the business name Swan Hill Motorplex on the 7th of the 6th, 2024 with ASIC? ASIC, is that right?
ASIC, yeah. So I don't understand, we've just said that we're going to include, we'll include all the user groups for the development if they want to take part in it. Did you say about the development?
Why did you register the name of the complex? It's actually, it's the Swan Hill,
Motorways complex.
That's letter for letter for what the Swan Hill name for the venue is out there. Why did you personally register?
For our business, for the business entity. So it was registered, I'm a sole trader, right, so I'm not a company. So as a sole trader, you get a business name, then that's in your name. If I call Gary Clark Plumbing, that's in my name, because I'm the owner of that name. Yeah, I've registered that name. So that comes into my name. When we set up the not-for-profit, that name, my name won't be there. Oh, sorry, my name will be there with Alec Berry's, because it'll be a not-for-profit. But at the moment, when I registered that name, it's because I'm a sole trader, that just comes to me.
Why?
Hang on.
Sorry?
Was it not registered? Did nobody register that name? If it was already registered, you wouldn't have been able to get it. So
correct.
It wasn't registered?
Correct.
Okay.
Did you take permission to register it?
From?
Why? Sorry, I'm actually with this man on this question, because if the council hadn't have registered that name, it's up for grabs for anybody. I wanted to name my shop something, couldn't have it because somebody else registered. That's why I named it what I did, because that was the only one available. So I understand that bit. Yes,
on
your
that
name?
Subject,
sorry?
The council has, I call it gazetted, but incorporated the name of the Swan Motorplex for this area in its minutes. So that's what the council has called that block.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
did
the
you...
council owned the block,
yeah,
and they've gazetted the name of that block.
Okay.
It's not the Chisholm Reserve, Swan Hill Motor Complex.
Yep.
It is Swan Hill Motorplex.
Okay.
Hang on. Did the council register that name? Or did they just gazette it in their minutes?
They gazetted it in the minutes, but that's different. The name of the complex is separate to the name of the business.
Oh, thank you.
They're separate issues. And it's quite common for people to register business names that someone might think might be useful in the future, or indeed people make a living out of registering business names, and then when whatever it is becomes popular, they then trade it.
Yep.
Now that's quite a common practice. It's not unusual for this sort of thing to happen. And in this case, we're planning for the future, it wasn't registered. So it's not the name of the complex. Completely different.
Okay.
I see them as the person who's saying
separate. So what's wrong with me registering the business name?
Well, to me, I might have a suspicious mind, but just seem a bit on the nose.
Why?
Well, that you're registering that very, the name of the very property out there. And I just immediately think, well, you've probably got the intention of eventually running the whole show. Like you didn't register the name Swan Hill Drag Strip Complex or something like that. It's
the
Swan Hill Motorplex.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's called the Swan Hill Motorplex.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the name was available. But we're not using that for anything but for our business entity. Now, the other thing that I sent an email out to all these guys when, I think Stuart might have brought this up, is also the other thing that we need to look at is to get a website that is available for everyone to get on. If I've got the name, we can use that name. If somebody else has got the name and doesn't want us to use that name, we can't do that. Now, are you aware that somebody from a user group out there now owns the intellectual property of that name?
It went through the committee of management.
Yes, correct. So they actually pay and own that name. So is they a big drama? Is that bad news because they own the intellectual property? We only own a name. They, an individual, owns the intellectual property.
Fair enough, you give an explanation.
Well,
listen.
Yeah, well, that's worse.
Thank you, Colin. That's right. What was the other question?
I think probably question four is fairly appropriate.
Okay. The Skeet City Consortium has stated that most of the funding for the project will be sourced from grants. If Skid City do this, why is this any better than the local user group doing the same thing along with the help of local council? Swan Hill Rural City Council, I am sure, will be eager to assist the local user group in procuring funding in an effort to counter some of the wrongdoings in the past.
So the first part of that's wrong is you've already heard that this man here, Richie Rich, that's where the funding's coming from, not from grants.
Oh, I thought you were looking at $14 million worth of grants.
That is for the rest of the, like, to get those other infrastructure things that we need. Yes. No, not that. No, the disabled toilets, all that sort of stuff, right? That's where the funding's coming from. We're not using 1 cent of the council's money or the rate base. Not 1 cent. It was from the very first paper that I put into council, which was to do with the burnouts. I raised the point, if you've got drag racing to run out that track, it's going to cost you $1 million. If you get burnouts to go to the track, it's going to cost you not a cent, and it won't cost you a cent all the way through. That was put to council. Now, the motion that was raised by Bill Moore last month, whenever it was, dot points on that motion to grant a lease. At the bottom was there will be no provision for council money into this project or words to a similar effect. We have said, and Les can back this up, we have said on probably 10 different bits of correspondence, we're not asking for 1 cent of council money, which is ratepayers' money, to do this work. What Alec hasn't got $15 million to throw up the complex. What Alec, after Alec's money is done, we need the rest of the money. That's why I'm going for a grant. He hasn't got that much money to probably ask, but not to throw on the track. So that's it.
But I know a lot of people that have got a lot of money.
Mm. Oh, I wish I knew some.
No, and I'll tell you, I've told this gentleman, I take a lot of, I'm a Collingwood supporter, and I take a lot of what you mean. But I tell you one thing, when Collingwood was a laughing stock and they were at the bottom, you always look at people in business. You know, they talk about the Lindsay Foxes, and you can talk to truck drivers that they reckon he's the biggest rip-off, but look at him, you know, anyway. When Eddie Maguire came in, he came up and he says, right, I've got the people to run Collingwood. I'm going to pick my, it's like you got a council recently, okay? And some bloke comes up and says, right, vote like Frank Costa, another bloke, a big fruit thing in Geelong, Costa's. He wrote out a ticket, but he picked every single one, right, that he could rely on. And with Eddie, he picked the people that, and he knew. He knew James Packer, he knew Lindsay Fox, he knew all the blokes with all a lot of money. And all of a sudden, Collingwood, from being broke, right, he shoveled a heap of money into the bloody joint, and they're a powerhouse of today. And this is what you got. You hang around with the right people, right? I reckon I can ring up one bloke right now and probably get $500,000 out of it. Right? And this is what you need. I'm not going to the council, right? And to be quite honest, if I'm going to have a go at the past drag club, they sat on their backsides and just gone for bloody handouts. It's like being at the supermarket and blokes playing his little bloody thing and all that stuff. You're going to go nowhere. In 3 or 4 years or 5 years, you're going nowhere. We want this thing running. Our vision is we want to run next year. If everything goes right, we want to run the first run next year.
End of next year.
Yeah, end of next year, yeah. So it's just you hang around with the right people and you know on what door to knock on, and that's where we look. with less, if we can have less support and all, and get behind this, because I'm telling you, you have got a jewel that you don't realise what you've got. It'll be the only quarter, forget about Heathcliff, you know. I mean, that's a joke. It won't, our governing body won't even sanction it, because they put the walls up, and the first thing they did, they ran through the bloody wall and put a dirty big hole. You know what he did? He put a van, that was his safety thing. And a bloke's already been killed there. Two blokes have been killed. But people, drag racer will just say, well, it won't happen to me. It's a bit like racing up and down the street. Oh, I'm going to be all right. So what I'm saying is you've got a jewel here that you can have a quarter mile. I tell you, if you shit themselves, will be in Mildura. They've only got a mate. Everybody wants to run. Everybody wants to run quarter.
Okay.
I wasn't going to say too much, but...
That's all right. Look, this is why we wanted you here. Colin, I don't quite understand question number 7 because I'm not really good with...
Number 7?
Yeah, if Skid City is not successful in its bid to acquire a lease of the site, does the burden of debt paid for by the URVDRC?
Victorian Drag Racing
Club. Okay, sorry, see?
They've paid for slapjacking trials out there on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if Skid City is not successful in the bid, is that bill for that work going to come back towards council?
Can I answer that?
Or the club?
Yes.
I pay for that. Okay. I'm vice president of the Victorian Drag Race.
Yep.
That was a donation.
Right.
If we get it back,
yep.
We get it back. We don't get it back, it's like a Tesla to you.
Yep, okay.
Anything else on there?
number 2, that was, this is straight to us on meeting on the 5th of July. I just want to read that one out.
Okay. So, Mark Humphrey has stated on the 5th of July meeting of Swan Hill Drag Racing Club,
yep.
Is that right?
That's correct.
That if successful in their bid, no local club will be allowed to use a drag strip site for events or activities, and no locals will be able to compete, given that events will be live streamed and closed to the public, as has the events he has already held there been. How is this going to benefit the local community?
I have no idea what you're talking about. No idea. Gary?
Yes. Do you want me to explain?
Yep.
At the meeting on the 5th of July, the question was asked.
Yes.
Right. You might run 3 or 4 events per year on the strip.
Oh, you're talking about burnouts.
Well, I'm talking about burnouts at the moment. I assume that will run into drag race too, and you said no,
we're talking about burnouts.
Allowed to use the strip.
Talking about burnouts.
Right.
4 events a year. Yes.
Yep, so yeah, no one else would be allowed to use the strip or course or anything else.
No, I explained that earlier on. Like, if you got burnouts on the track, on the drag strip, you cannot prep, so there's no drag racing on it. Once that part's finished, I explained this before, the burnouts have got to go.
Yeah.
There is 4 burn we've got planned, as I said, 4 burnout events for the year.
Okay. Now part of that question there was you've done this 3 times already.
Three filming sessions.
Yes. And they've been closed events.
Yep.
So no locals or spectators can go out there and view.
Nope.
But they can pay you and view it live stream. Is that correct?
They can. No, we didn't live stream.
Didn't do live streaming?
No.
But that's the intention in the future, is it? That's your other business. Sporting Scribes, your other business.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's a free live stream. We tried it.
Free live streaming?
It's free live streaming. I tried it twice. A pay-per-view got like about 3% of viewers would pay to watch. So
okay.
It's free. It's been, Al does my commentary. If I've done 100 live streams, we've tried to attempt for somebody to cover the cost twice. Right now, I don't do live stream. You know why I don't do live stream, Cole? Because it's cost me so much money and no one wants to pay for it. So if the spectators don't want to pay for it, no, I'm not doing it.
Okay, so do you expect in the future when you're doing burnouts, are they going to be closed events?
Okay, so the reason the filming sessions were closed to the public is because of the sanction. So the permit that I got to do that, if you run a test and tuning closed, no spectators, it's a hell of a lot cheaper. As soon as spectators start coming in, your sanction fee goes higher. So the reason we did that is we didn't want to make any money. We wanted to just guys to film and muck around and do what they did. So it was closed to the public. And if it wasn't, if it was like a normal test and tune, then the fee is a lot more expensive. Why would I want that? There's no facility to even charge.
Okay, I understand. So in the future, if you hold events and some of these good people here want to get it, go out and have a look, see what's going on, if are they going to be closed events or open events for spectators to have a look at?
Are you talking about the filming series for the Burnett filming series, or are you talking about drag racing generally?
All right, we'll start off with the burnouts because we got dragged back to burnouts to start with. So initially with your burnouts, are they going to be closed events? So they're going to be open events?
They'll be paying events. As I just mentioned earlier on with the burnout side and talking with about the Speedway, we want to do the pro shows. We want to do the big stuff. So we can't do that. You can't put $20,000 up if you haven't got a heap of people coming through the gate. Now, as far as, I don't know where this idea that the only time that we have had it closed to the public was those three private filming sessions, and as I said, that was for the permit that was supplied to us. Other than that, I've filmed everything that's happened out there. I've live streamed. Like, why wouldn't you? And the fact is, I'm chasing two global companies, as if they're not going to want free live streaming for their branding. Of course they're going to, otherwise you wouldn't get it. The first thing you've got to do is if I'm lucky enough to secure one of these guys, they're going to say, where's our exposure for our branding? Oh no, we don't do live streaming, we're just not going to do it, they'll walk in the market. So the live stream is a huge integral part of what's moving forward. Every track does it now, Kyle. Mildura now, because I'm not doing it, they have to source their own live stream, as the other tracks that I used to go to. But South Coast Raceway has already sourced an alternative to what I was doing. Mildura is working on it. You know, it has to be everywhere.
Okay. Well, I've got one other question that actually I haven't written down there.
Collar.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
He comes with a knife.
No.
Everything correctly and everything sanctioned, how could you get out on the strip out there and run three events when the track was closed?
Track was closed for drag racing.
So it was open for other things?
We could do burnouts. Councillor Kelly and Councillor McKay come out the first time, come out to our first filming session. They were there. What's Ross, the engineer? Peter Ross, is it?
Peter Ross.
And the new senior engineer, I was introduced, Leanne Johnson.
Was Councillor McKay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both were.
Yeah, so Leah Johnson, I was introduced and while we're setting it up. You know, like, I don't know where the theories are coming. They knew what was going on. And as I said, we were doing the burnouts in the park. That was least affected by the undulation in the track.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just asking a question.
Mate, Cole, I don't know if you've seen them, but burnout cars do about 40, 50, 60 k's, not like 300 k's. It's safe.
You're not in the motors,
but, council had visited the site, you know, different people over the time. While we're actually either setting up or during, when the girls come out, we're setting up, so it was prior to starting, but they've definitely visited the site.
Very good. Thank you, Colin. Very good questions. Ellen? Okay. Does anybody else have any questions that they would like to ask Mark?
No, mine at Al, not Mark.
I don't know. Will you accept a question from
Stuart? Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'm a financial member of the current drag strip, and I'm just wondering what Alex's relationship is with Gary as the president of the current relationship. How are they working together now?
Well, I think Mark.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. Whatever Mark said, we need. I'm four hours away. Well, you think at every meeting we're going to come down or we're going
to... No, I don't.
That's why I'm asking
how the relationship is between you two, because you know, I've been at our club meetings.
Hey, I buried the hatch. The hatch is buried.
Okay.
Right? And I think you voted. You were one of the members that voted out of the fifth. There was a vote, and I think Mark forgot. There was a vote of 15 to 1. Originally,
two motions were put up that night. The first motion was.
No, hang on. Let me talk.
Excuse me, okay. Stuart.
The first motion. I think it was 9 to 5 against or whatever, and it got a bit heated. And I said, we're not going to leave until we get a unanimous decision, right? Well, out of that unanimous decision, the young bloke, I can't remember his name, whoever it was.
That wasn't
him.
I'm not going to name him anyway. He's got his beard. He never had a problem with us. He had a problem with the council. Right? So... sometimes you've got to bury the hatch. You know? And what I'm saying is, it was 15-1. I was happy with that. We weren't going to go away 9-5 or whatever it was. So the relationship that's with them, we need them. Members of and you're a member of that, right? Let me tell you, if we got this, I was going through this. No way Stewie Mitchell's going to be racing. You better take up Speedway. But the reason why, because you voted on something and then you start doing all you in the undoes around the things, right? There's a lot of people that did videos that took, they were told by the Speedway to take that video off on certain things. And another bloke by the Gazette, or whatever the paper thing, that put an article, and that person, right, I wanted to go to the solicitors, but he was the one that was, anyway. Yeah, but at the moment, we've buried the hatch, and we've got to move forward. Because if we keep on going, mate, I'm 73.
Yeah,
I'm on the plank and I'm walking to the end. How many record steps I've got before I go over? Right? I've got a grandson, I want to see him win a championship. Well, I've seen him win a championship, let alone my grandson's won a championship. My stupid son hasn't even won one. So
the only reason I ask that is at our last meeting, was our monthly meeting. I tabled the letter that was sent out to all the uni groups. That letter there.
From who?
From you. That's your letter.
The letter you sent out, I tabled at the last meeting, and it got read.
Gary Cotter, he swore black and blue at that meeting. He knew nothing about that. He said at that meeting he knew nothing about that letter and what was listed in there. And it was sort of just a bit hard. Like when I'd seen it the month beforehand. And all the way through, you know, Gary had met with us in December, Gary had given you permission, his blessings, all that sort of stuff. I would have thought that would have come back to the club meeting somewhere.
I already told you that at the meeting. I told you exactly how, what I just said before, that I talked to Gary in January about doing all this. I've already said all that. But my discussions about getting access to that after December, or even before, even with the burnouts, everything went through there. Gary knows. We discussed it.
And he never brought nothing to a club meeting.
Okay.
Well,
I don't think that's true. None of that's true, Stuart.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anybody else have? I don't know your name.
My name's Alan Barnes. Sorry, I didn't
that's
have
right.
laryngitis. I was just wondering if your subjecting specialist and so forth had seen the geological report that the council had commissioned.
No.
Because...
Yes,
I've been out there 30-odd years. Told them at the drag strip committee meeting of the complex groups when it was first brought up. It's very unstable ground because there is an underground river under there. Mm-hmm. And we're all known by the people in that district.
Yeah, aware of that.
And it's not from the rain that falls on that property. It comes from right out at Goshen, right through under there. You may as well try and stop the Murray River when it's flowing, because it keeps sucking the dirt down in great big triangles, 20 feet down. I have had the urethane jacking done and paid for it on different property,
they will only guarantee to 5 to 8 feet below. If it fails under that, they do not guarantee it.
Who done that jacking? Because he's the only one that's got the license for Australia.
No.
Eurocrete's a multinational.
Yeah, there's others around. Oh. He's the only one that uses recyclable.
Oh,
products. So, and Eurocrete's done buildings, houses, commercial properties, well, runways, warehouses.
Yeah.
And
look,
you want to check with the man.
It's a good
where
point.
The guarantee finishes. Because if it's 8 feet, you're just wasting your money.
Well, thanks for that, because we will check that.
Because once they go over 8 feet, it becomes very difficult for them to know where their foundation goes.
Okay, so on that, as we said earlier, the concern that we have is the bitumen part. they can't use that technology on the bitumen.
No, that's fine, but you can put concrete there.
Yeah, so the thing is with concrete, the way that... the process is, it sits across the top and forms basically like another slab.
Yep.
Now, if that's all tied in with the top slab, then if there's, what we're being told is if there's soft patches underneath, it doesn't affect this. This still holds its form as another concrete slab.
Well, when it was being built, when it got too hot to pour the concrete, Coburn's were out there, Harold were out there, all summer watering. And before they finished watering through the summer, on a dry year, a hole appeared in the track. The dirt disappears. It's not spanning what people think is a crab hole.
So
it's spanning. We've got them in the back pits of the speedway.
Yeah.
You can go out there and look in them and go, if we drive a tractor 5, 6, 8 feet out there, it's going down. It's got a hole this big you're looking for. And underneath it is.
So that's
just some advice to try
and appreciate what that
guarantee is.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, can I ask a question, seeing you know so much about that? How come the go-kart track, how long has the go-kart track been there?
It's not over the river.
No, it's not over the river.
No, that river goes right through. We used to drive down to the bank of the drag strip, was where the original dam was. And for 15 years we drove down there. Every race meet in water, we get in the water to water the speedway track. And every second we had to drive a new route because these things would just open up and you can't drive anywhere near.
Well, that,
I'm just saying, you've got to check into it because...
appreciate that, and we will,
it's
because...
$1 million.
Yeah,
that's why the report to the council said it cannot be fixed.
Now, that geological report you're talking about, I think Councillor Moore may have suggested at the last meeting that we should have access to that so that we can see that. You know, look, at the end of the day, if it's not going to work, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make those decisions. On the concrete side of things, we've got that under control, with the guarantee. But, I'm sure, I'm speaking for Alec here, but I'm sure that if there's going to be a long-term issue there, I don't think he's going to put his money in.
No.
And who would?
Yep.
You know, well,
that's all the reason for
that. That's
there's
like
been enough money wasted there now because people would not listen.
Yeah.
Told him at the meeting with the former mayor, Greg Cruikshank, and he said, that'll be sorted before we build anything. They never done a soil survey. They never done a geo survey. They put the thing there after they were told.
Well, the thing that would happen there is we need to first, if we get the lease, then we can go ahead and do all that testing and stuff like to find out whether it's viable or not. We don't know that because we're not even allowed on the place.
Yeah. Maybe I will find you on the tests.
Can we just get Councillor Moore
There was a geotech done. I asked it for the first meeting that we ever talked about the drag strip, which was bloody nearly 8 years ago. It took 6 years to find it, and we only found it because the new CEO came in and said, I don't want this hanging around my neck, and sent someone down to the archives for weeks and weeks, going through every piece of paper. So finally, they found the geotech. So it is there and it is available. So I suggested part of your due diligence will be to get that geotech and every consulting report we've ever had done on it,
So that you go in with your eyes wide open.
That is correct, and that's what you mentioned that last meeting, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's no, you didn't tell us about this.
We're not going to do that.
So Geotech proved to be exactly the same as my house. I'm allowed to stay with clays, certain whatever ribs, deep, monstrous. I said what you thought was a sand hill.
Yeah.
But it is highly reactive clays. That's the key of the Geotech.
Yeah.
Nearly over. Colin.
Okay. I'd just like to say that the comments that Alan made were correct about these sinkholes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the engineers working on that project was my son-in-law, and he came to me once and he said, "What are these sinkhole things? You're digging away and they just seem to appear, and then the dirt falls away." So I told him, the little bit that I knew about them. Now the other thing, the soil tests, they'd actually started construction out there and they realised they hadn't done a soil test. So this young fellow and the chief engineer at the time went out one afternoon and he came back that night and said, "Yes, we did the soil test," which soil tests take weeks to do. They've got to wet the soil and all this sort of thing. So it was just a visual soil test. Now, if you want to know more about the soils out there, there's at least three reports that council have commissioned.
Well, Bill's.
He's just said that they've been getting all that already.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cost well over $100,000 for these things. I'll leave it there. I'd suggest you get hold of it before we go spending any money.
Your attention, please, members and guests. As it's 8:20, our bistro will shortly be shutting. Anyone requiring a meal, please make your way there now. Thank you.
Sorry, Colin. Thank you very much.
That's all right.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to say?
No, Bill's
spoken.
Oh, yeah.
There he has. Did you hear him?
Yeah.
Very quietly spoken man.
So, look, from us, I hope it's clear what we're on about, and the fact is we're not about to try and take anybody over, or we don't want to do that. We want to help anybody that wants to help. At the moment, there's some points which may be coming up against us as far as the trying to get a lease. The strategic report, it shouldn't affect us, because if the Councillor McPhee is saying let's wait for the strategic report. Well, the thing is, if the strategic report down the track says council get out of it altogether, we're going to close the whole lot down. Well, then the Speedway Club, the off-road club, everybody's going to get compensated for what they put onto that grant. Council owns the land, clubs own everything above it.
No, they don't. Everything we put there is council.
So, is that right?
You want to get that written in your lease? Your stuff isn't theirs.
Bill?
I don't know exactly.
Can you find out, please?
Yeah.
Because that is quite interesting.
Yeah. Yes, it is, because I would have thought if the control tower...
It's not. They don't insure anything.
Oh.
No,
it was
they
councils
don't...
that would be insured.
Sorry. Oh, Chris, sorry, I didn't see you there.
Hello, sorry, mate. So, every club will have different ownership.
Yep.
But if the news, I'll ask question where we close the drag strip, and council then went to the drag club and said, "You're not only got, but what are you going to do with the assets? We will come and ask the chief of the government." Lighting tower, the persons, the infrastructure. So each club might have a bit of a different agreement with the council, what's installed and what is club owned or council owned, but that will have to be determined between council.
Yes. So the point that I'm getting to, Councillor Jeffrey, is if we have at that time invested X amount of money into it and you decide to shut it, or a private enterprise comes in to buy the whole complex, the council says let's sell that, well then surely the clubs and us would have to be compensated for what's being done, depending on which way that rolls, I guess. But
depends on what's in your lease.
Well, I can't answer that. But
but it all depends on what's put in your lease. Is that correct?
So, and the other thing is, there's this bit of a negative thing about doing anything with a drag strip while the strategic review's been put in place. Now, I believe when we addressed the user group meeting here, Michelle Granger said that it was going out at the end of that month, which is out to tender, so that's now going out to tender. Well, then they get somebody in that's going to do the strategic report. Now, that's no reason to stop us from getting a lease, because if that is, that means then that the council's going to go and stop every other user group from using the facility while the strategic report's getting done. I don't think so. So what's the difference? You know, like, we should be able to, whether it's us or whether it was these guys here or whether it was the Speedway, we were the ones, everyone had their right to do the submission, and ours is now up for motion. But, you know, like, it shouldn't stop because the strategic review is just started, you know, because, as I said, they're not going to stop the Speedway from running, are they?
No, I don't get one.
I hope not.
Yeah. All right.
So that's it. So that's no more questions?
No, because
the
Alan's
got a question. Oh, Alan.
I'm going to speak to two blokes. One bloke, his name's Darren. He's a contractor. The other bloke's name is Paul. Obviously, Paul used to be on the committee here, and he's all about drag strips. Many in the United States. Paul said to me before he went for holiday, he said, Alan, he said, they haven't done any drainage out there. They've done no drainage. Now, he's been to so many Yankee strips in Yankee Lake, he knew all about big slabs and drainage. Now, I speak to the concreter, and the concreter, this concreter's just done Curtis Island, Queensland, that's a tunnel underneath to add to Curtis Island. He's now Snow Mountain 2, Peacestone, and also out the ass. He said, drainage around a slab is a metre that way, full of gravel, and a round strip down the bottom. We all know how that slab out there was short-changed. It should have two layers of Rio, it only got one. They couldn't be bothered with the plastic because it kept blowing away, so I got no plastic. Whereas you had plastic down into that Rio. A lot of those issues might have erased, you know, with the dampness underneath that slab. And it wasn't continuous pour where you could put cracks, it was hidden water underneath the slab. So I came here tonight, I thought you're going to rip that slab up and put another one down. The white one, not the wrong one. That's what I thought.
Yeah, but that's probably going to add another 500,000.
Those two blokes on board, Paul, who knew all about drag strips in the Yankee Lake, and the other bloke, the concreter, who knows that bridge.
So on that, one of the things that was suggested by Slab Jack at the last presentation actually was that you're exactly right, that a big drain has to go down on the right hand side of that drag strip to take care of that water, and while we're digging up the breaking area to put a big drain underneath to transfer that water away and then back down to the dams, while we've got the opportunity because of all that breaking area would be ripped up. So his idea, I don't know what dimensions it was, but all the way down that right hand side is to cater for exactly what you said, is to get rid of that water. Because he sees the problem is one is going through the openings in the slab because of the neoprene caulking wasn't adequate. So to do that properly, but also to direct that what everyone's talking about, that river that ran through.
Well, that's much further down the hill top.
Yeah, okay. But he did say about along that side there to direct the water away. So we are aware of that. We're not aware of what you're saying right down.
But when they sink, they're not wet.
Yeah.
You can look in that hole.
Yeah.
5, 6, 8
anyway,
feet down and it's dry.
For us, down for us, we go through the process of putting in the lease, putting an application for the lease. If we get it, then we have to do, we don't have access now, so we have to do a due diligence on that. And find solutions to get by any situations that come up. But that's our risk.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I actually do have a question. Hypothetically, everything goes exactly the way you plan.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going to help Swan Hill? How's it going to help the community? All these people that are going to come park there and all that, they're going to be staying at the motels, go out to the motels, go out to the restaurants during the day, shop, whatever.
Yep.
Is that what you're envisioning to help the town?
Absolutely. So when these boys held that, I mentioned it earlier, the Nitro funny cars.
No.
Accommodation was booked within a 100k radius, so the accommodation side of it was exhausted here, so they had to go out further. All the towns, all the shops in the town and that were just, you would have probably seen some of that if you were in the shops back then, yeah. So, everybody was inundated with people. Now, the events that we planned to have would be, some of them not as big spectator-wise, but a lot of them around that sort of thing. So, everybody that comes into town, race teams and that, they'll go to Coles, they'll buy their food, they'll get fuel, they'll go to the pub, have meals, all of that stuff. It's a big, in our submission, Motorsport Australia did a survey on what motorsport brings to regional, and it's something like $8.8 billion. That's every sport all around Australia, but it's huge. It's huge what motorsport brings in. I know for a fact, when we get our pro, if we ever run our Skid City Pro Show, this place will be packed. There'll be thousands of people there, several thousand people that come, and they'll be spending money everywhere in this job. So the person who's living in the house down the road there, just a normal ratepayer, they're not going to get anything out of it because the businesses all make the money.
It could be the person who's got the business that lives in that little house down there, but also a ratepayer. So Swan Hill has a lot of small businesses. A couple of years ago it was, I think, fourth on the list of towns that had the most small businesses, not the big conglomerates. So, that is my concern, because the ratepayers, they either work or they run a business. So if they're going to make money and keep in work and make money and keep paying for their bills that the businesses keep producing, I'm all for the town to go ahead.
Robin, just on, if I may, if it's closed, you're not going to get one person to come out of there, are you?
No, I know.
But if you get...
I call it the white elephant.
Okay, but if you get, say you just get 3,000 people, just 3,000, right, which is overall, you're still going to get extras.
Yeah. Well, I secretly call Swan Hill the biggest white elephant town there is, because they'll build something and then they go, shit, we got it wrong. Let's go build something over here.
Yeah, we want to fix up that thing that they may have got wrong a little bit. We want to fix it up.
But anyway, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to hear the other side, so I can now go home and pretend to go to sleep and get up in the morning and go to work, and it will still tumble around in my head until I've sort of sharpened the whip.
I think it's clear. Clear what we said is we're not trying to take over any user group.
Mm-hmm.
Made that totally clear. The business name thing is we're clear on that.
Yeah.
Now they're aware of somebody else in the user groups out there that actually owns the intellectual property.
The user groups voted to do that.
Correct.
So somebody has to do it.
Correct.
He done it with permission.
That's right. But there were so many bad stories. I realise that. But there's so many untrue stories going around of why I brought this. While I've got this business name, when it was already there, it's already done by the user group, so I don't even know what that's about. But, and at the end of the day, we want to for the drag strip, but we're everyone. We want to help everyone if we can. That's it.
Okay. One question.
Okay.
Have any Collingwood supporters here?
No.
Right, I'm shouting. Thanks very much.
That's okay. I'm very anti-sport.